Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. We're stepping through Romans 7. And in this episode, we're going to be commenting on verses 14 and following. Not sure how far we get through in this episode, but it is a very famous passage, and I believe sometimes a challenging passage for people to understand. Now, I've alluded in the previous episode that there is some grammatical dynamic in chapter 7 about Paul's uses of verb tenses, and I usually don't try to go into these things in too much technical depth on the episode because I really want it to be a little more devotional and personal in nature as we walk through, but there are times where I think the technical side of things enhances the study a little bit, and at least to make you aware of some dynamics that are taking place. And I alluded to the fact that in the previous section, Paul's mostly operating in past tense. And there are many interpreters that would say this was something that Paul saw as his past experience, and it was more of a personal thing that he went through, and they wouldn't necessarily apply it to everybody. And so they go through different interpretive kind of gyrations on that. It's kind of difficult for me to follow, actually, sometimes. That's why I don't like to get too much into the theology side of things. I just want to listen to the text and let it rise up to us and give us some understanding. So in this passage, Paul shifts back into the present tense. And so then we're forced to say, okay, well, is Paul saying this is real for me now in my present reality? Or is this something that I relate to as something that has been real in my experience and it's no longer real anymore? Well, this is kind of where we're going to have to make our decision of interpretation. It's going to become very evident at the end of chapter 7 and moving into chapter 8, because I personally believe that Paul is explaining an experience that is not an ever-present reality in his life. I believe it was a reality, and I believe he can speak of it as though it was so real that he relates to it as though it could be presently real in his life. But I just think if we read all the way through the passage, then it's going to become very clear that Paul is going to recognize that there has been a shift. There's been a movement out of one reality into another reality. And this is actually a tension. It's a tension of interpretation of Scripture, and it's a tension in the practice of the Christian faith. I focus on this so much when I teach these concepts. I truly believe that everything that has happened for us in Christ is past tense. It has happened. It is as real right now in our lives as it will ever be. But in our practical experience and expression of these truths, it's as though they're not yet manifested fully in our lives. That's the process of spiritual maturity. And it's not that they're not real in God, it's just they haven't become ultimately real in our lives. And the reason for that is not because God has not accomplished it already in Christ. The reason for it is that we have not entered into it yet fully. And that is specifically dependent on how much faith we practice, how much belief we had. I've alluded to this in previous episodes. The power of our faith is that it allows us to connect to the truth. And in connecting to the truth, which is the person of Christ, those realities become manifested in our lives as our reality. This is the miracle of transformation. This is the work and the power of the gospel that actually accomplishes in us the very thing that God intended for it to accomplish. And this is the process of the Christian life. This is the give and the take that takes place. We give God our faith in everything He has done, and we take the truth to be our reality. And in that process, those truths become real and we shift. We make a change. The change is affected in us by the power of the Spirit of God working in our lives. It's such a beautiful practice. But back to today's episode, in chapter 7, verse 14, Paul makes these statements. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. Now let's just stop there. Paul says he knows that the law is spiritual and that he is of the flesh, and he's sold into bondage to sin. Now, you see what I mean. Do we believe that Paul, as a mature believer, which he was, believes that right then when he's writing that letter that he is sold into sin, that he's still in bondage to sin? With everything we've read so far, we would say, well, no, he can't believe that. Well, that's why I am of the opinion that he's reflecting on the reality of what he used to be, and he's just speaking about it in present tense. He says, look, I recognize that I'm sold into the bondage of sin, but as he moves along in the discussion, he's going to move us out of being in that place now into a shift, and it's going to take time for us to get to the shift. I just want to submit to you, I don't think Paul is narrating his present life. And I don't think this narration that is so popular in the Christian belief system of many believers is not meant to be a present ongoing reality in our lives. We can literally move out of it. But I've always taught and I've always believed, because I've experienced it, every Christian will go through a season in his journey, in her journey of coming into revelation and the full understanding of what Christ has done. We will have a season in our life where we experience what Paul is experiencing right here and what he's explaining as a very, very real experience. So let's look at what he says. He says, the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into bondage to sin. So he's saying that the law which God gave meant to be a very spiritual thing, meant to express the heart of the Spirit of God, because God is spirit. And so it's actually a spiritual thing. It's not just a dead thing written on tablets of stone, so to speak. It is spiritual in nature in that it was given to accomplish and to bring about a spiritual end. But it could not do in the flesh what it was intended to do because of the weakness of our flesh. Because sin takes opportunity through it, and in our flesh, it deceives us, but it doesn't mean that the law is bad. Paul's already said this. So he's trying to move us into these concepts with very specific intentionality. And then he goes on to say, for what I am doing, I do not understand, for I am practicing the very thing I hate. So here is the struggle. Here is the truth that a lot of Christians relate to. Just like Paul, I don't understand why I'm not practicing and doing what I want to do, but I'm doing the very thing that I hate. And that is a struggle and a reality that I believe all of us can relate to. There are times in our Christian journey where we know we should not be doing something we're doing. We actually hate it when we do it, and we don't do the very thing we want to do. Now listen to what Paul says. Verse 16 is a very, very interesting verse. He says, but if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law that the law is good. And you hear that? You're thinking, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. I thought that if we did the thing that was good, we would agree with the law. Paul is digging down deep into a spiritual truth about the law. He's saying, no, actually, when I don't do what I want to do, what I know is good for me, I actually am agreeing with the law, the spirit of the law, because the spirit of the law being good is not that the commandment itself is the good part of the law. The commandment serves a spiritual purpose of goodness in our lives to expose us as failures. And that is a good thing. You say, what? Cliff, really? You're starting to lose me here. But see, it's at this stage of this struggle to understand this truth that you're right on the threshold of breaking in to a beautiful revelation, a revelation that leads to freedom, a revelation that moves us from this elementary way of living life into the freedom that belongs to the children of God. And it is so powerful and so profound. And Paul is just stepping us through. So he's laying out this truth that when I do the very thing I don't want to do, I'm actually agreeing with the law and proving that the law is good. Now, I want to stop in this episode here, maybe a little shorter of an episode than normal, but I don't want to get into verse 17 because it's going to open up a whole nother truth for us to focus on. So in this episode, I want us to reflect on this truth that when we live in this struggle of not doing the very thing we want to do, we're actually upholding the goodness of the law. Now, it's going to make more sense as we step along, but in this episode, just reflect on this truth that your struggle is actually the proof of something good. So be strong and courageous and love Jesus more.